From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this Tuesday, October 1st, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Faith leaders from around Maine led a prayer service outside of the State House today to remember the victims of the Lewiston mass shooting ahead of the one-year anniversary.
18 beloved ones held dear by us in mortal life, held dear by you in the eternal, lying gently in your arms. Amen.
Marisa Laviola with the Maine Conference United Church of Christ was one of nearly a dozen Christian, Islamic, and Jewish leaders to participate in the service. They read aloud the names and ages of the 18 people who died in Lewiston on October 25th. The group also sang several hymns and prayed for continued healing of survivors, the victims' families, and the people of the state. A Sagadahoc County probate judge has given the families of 18 Lewiston shooting victims a way to access mental health and other records of the man responsible for their loved ones' deaths last October. As Susan Sharon reports, he's appointed a woman who lost her husband and teenage son as a special administrator of Robert Card's estate.
On October 25th, Cynthia Young dropped off her husband Bill and her 14-year-old son Aaron at the Just-in-Time bowling alley at 6 p.m. She never saw them again. She wants to know why they were killed, given the multiple warnings about Robert Card's declining mental health and access to firearms.
I don't really have too much to add, except that this is going to be really beneficial towards the healing of all the families, the victims, the survivors, and I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to move forward.
Young spoke briefly with reporters outside the Sagadahoc County Courthouse after her petition to serve as a special administrator of Card's estate was granted by a probate judge. His family did not object. Even after investigations by the Army and an independent state commission, attorney Travis Brennan says questions remain about why Card was allowed to walk out of a psychiatric facility after 14 days.
What we have not had access to up until today is Mr. Card's complete medical records during that critical hospitalization.
Brennan says a full accounting is important to ensure that something like this never happens again. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And a Sagadahoc County Sheriff's deputy has accused Governor Janet Mills and an independent commission that investigated last year's mass shooting of, quote, lying to the Maine people. As Kevin Miller reports, Sergeant Aaron Schofield was responding to criticism that he could have attempted to use Maine's yellow flag law against the gunman before the shooting.
Last month, Governor Mills accused Schofield of being part of a, quote, colossal failure of human judgment for not doing more to potentially stop Robert Card in the months before he killed 18 people in Lewiston. Mills was echoing the findings of an independent commission that said Schofield had probable cause back in September of 2023 to try the yellow flag Card in order to temporarily seize his guns. But the report said that, instead, he relied too heavily on Card's family and his Army Reserve leaders to resolve the issue. Mills then mentioned that Schofield is challenging Sheriff Joel Mary this November in the race for Sagadahoc County Sheriff. Both Mills and Mary are Democrats, while Schofield is Republican.
And I urge the people of Sagadahoc County to read this report and to consider it deeply as they decide who should be the next sheriff of Sagadahoc County. This independent commission report should inform that very important decision.
On Tuesday, Schofield unleashed on Mills and the commission members.
Governor Mills' speech shows that the investigation by her handpicked commission was in fact politically motivated and not about displaying the unvarnished facts, as she purported.
Speaking during a press conference at the State House, Schofield accused the commission of purposely leaving out crucial details in its investigation. Schofield says the first step in the yellow flag process is to take the person into protective custody. but that as he made clear to the commission, Card never answered the door, and he had no legal grounds to forcefully enter his house. Schofield says the commission also failed to mention that Card's Army Reserve leaders told him that reports he might shoot up the reserve base should be taken with a, quote, grain of salt. And finally, Schofield takes issue with a line in the report that he and another deputy spent only 16 minutes attempting to contact Card at his home in Bowdoin. Schofield says he spent hours monitoring Card's driveway and trying to talk to his family and fellow reservists before he was diverted to another call.
The commission knew that. The governor and the commission lied to you. I know these are monumental words calling out big hitters in their respective fields.
In response, Mills' office issued a statement on Tuesday that the governor was not involved in the commission's investigation. But her office said Mills had, quote, full faith and confidence in the facts as determined by the commission, and that she agreed with the conclusions. The spokesman said the governor had nothing further to add on the issue. Schofield was speaking as part of an event organized by supporters of Maine's Progressive Treatment Program, or PTP. Under that program, courts can order someone to undergo mental health treatment if they pose a likelihood of serious harm to themselves or others, but are unlikely to voluntarily follow a treatment program. Advocates say the program is woefully underutilized in Maine, and that few police officers, including Schofield, are trained in how to use it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Dock workers in ports along the East and Gulf Coast went on strike today as contract negotiations broke down with shipping companies represented by the United States Maritime Alliance. But the strike is unlikely to have an immediate impact on Maine's shipping industry, says Oak McCoy, an economist with the University of New England. He says that's because most of the cargo ship traffic coming to the International Marine Terminal in Portland is through the Icelandic company Inskip.
The strike is really with the U.S. Maritime Alliance, and they don't send ships to Maine. And so it really is going to be the other ports that are critical to the regional economy or the eastern seaboard economy.
McCoy says Maine could still see ripple effects from the strike in the form of shipping delays and constrained supply chains potentially leading to higher prices. The International Longshoremen's Association, which represents thousands of dock workers, is fighting for higher wages and protections against automation. A Washington-based transportation research organization known as TRIP says Mainers continue to pay a price for underinvestment in roads and bridges. TRIP's Rocky Moretti says it amounts to $1,800 a year for Bangor area drivers, $1,500 a year for Portland area drivers.
These costs include lost time when roads are congested and it takes you longer to get places. We put a value on that lost time. It's the cost of driving on rough roads, which puts vehicles under more stress, which accelerates their deterioration and also increases fuel consumption and tire wear.
Moretti says the state will require continued, sustained, and predictable funding to make needed improvements, but he says that will be made more difficult due to increases in construction costs and a decline in gas tax revenues due to more fuel-efficient and electric vehicles on the road. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a discussion of Tuesday night's vice presidential debate. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.